Welcome to Under Lock and Key, news and commentary about prisons from the Revolutionary Anti-Imperialist League and the Maoist Internationalist Movement. Boston activists bring revolutionary education to prisoners, and letters from behind the walls expose corruption and injustice. The U.S. incarcerates a greater percentage of its population than any other country, sending more black men to prison than college. The purpose of this program is to educate about and inspire activism against the American lockdown. University Bars is a new Serve the People program offering education opportunities to prisoners within the context of revolutionary struggle. University Bars stands for Boston Activists for Revolutionary Schooling. Initial UBARS classes, created by the Revolutionary Anti-Imperialist League and the Life After Framingham, started in March of 2000. Despite prisoners having given their lives to fight for educational programs, these and other basic needs are continually denied throughout America. Mem and Rail fight for better prison conditions within revolutionary struggle. We have long provided prisoners a means to educate themselves and to publish ideas through Mem Notes and the Serve the People Free Books for Prisoners program. UBARS demonstrates that a few comrades working with the masses can build an independent and proletarian institution and serve the masses' needs better than the current imperialist system. Current and former prisoners of MCI Framingham formed Life After Framingham. Life After Framingham serves women's needs during and after their imprisonment at Framingham. The organization also serves as an advocacy group for the women, including lobbying the state legislature. Mem and Rail are working together with Life After Framingham to offer both men and women access to educational programs in prison. We welcome other similar progressive organizations with disagreements on basic ideology to help build proletarian institutions to serve the people. UBARS addresses the need for positive activities in prison to assist prisoners in developing skills needed while incarcerated and after their release. Education is necessary for survival, to end oppression, and to seize power. The state's trend to cut access to education must be fought. We urge those sympathetic to prisoner struggles and those who believe that everyone should have access to education to help build this program. In particular, UBARS needs facilitators to teach useful job training courses that are needed to curb recidivism. To emphasize that reforms and reintegration into the workforce will not end the exponential growth in U.S. incarceration, all materials will be supplemented with revolutionary literature. UBARS has the long-term goal of offering college credit to prisoners. As a first step in offering greater access to education, we offer correspondence courses. Initially, courses will be limited as we try out the first semester. All kinds of people on both sides of the prison walls can join UBARS. Prisoners, contact us to indicate your interest. Outside of enrolling in a course, help avoid administrative blockades by informing us of potential problems and ways to avoid censorship. The more successes we build, the more facilitators who will join in. Prisoners working with Mem already organize revolutionary study groups regularly. If you would like to organize a class for UBARS outside of the regular study groups, contact Mem. The turnaround time for prisoners organizing a course will be longer and need extra preparation compared to courses prepared by outside facilitators. Teachers, grad students, and academics, we need your help also. Help by signing up to facilitate a course. The courses will cover 12 weeks' worth of material in 18 weeks to avoid mailing and administrative problems. UBARS is interested in offering all types of courses from writing to biology to marketing. Students, activists, and advocates, you can help also. Help by raising funds, publicizing, and doing the legwork for UBARS. We need to contact more potential course facilitators, distribute flyers, write grants, make photocopies, and other such tasks.
In a few moments, we will bring you a commentary by Mumia Abu-Jamal. Mumia is a black nation revolutionary fighting for his life on Pennsylvania's death row. Mumia was framed for the murder of a police officer because he is an outspoken opponent of American imperialism. This Mumia Abu-Jamal commentary was recorded by Bruderhof Radio. Bruderhof Radio can be contacted at www.freespeech.org/Bruderhof or via the phone numbers 1-800-778-8361 or area code 914-658-8351.
Many are unfamiliar with the reality of death row, for the corporationist press paints a picture of the row as an abode of the worst of the worst, while a truer picture is of those who are poorest of the poor, or even the weakest of the weak. How so, you ask? Well, look, of all the kinds of killings that people do, What can be more malevolent than murder for hire? In Philadelphia alone, dozens of people have been slain in the streets as local mafia wars raged for over a decade. Which leads to another question. How many mafia hitmen were in Pennsylvania's death row? The answer, zero. Not one. How can this be, you ask? And the answer is simple. Real mafia guys are able to afford the best lawyers that money can buy, while the poor schmuck is stuck with court-appointed lawyers, hardly the craft's best. So, guess who goes to death row? Death row, it seems, is the prerogative of the poor. And what about mafia hitmen? Truth be told, there was one once, and the DA's office in Philadelphia fought harder than most defense lawyers to get him off the row. Sure enough, quietly, they did so. In fact, he never lived under the deprivations that are familiar to all people on death row. Why? Because he testified against his alleged bosses. What emerges is the politics of death, that the well-to-do and well-connected can afford to escape, and where one's poverty is a definitive aggravating circumstance. I've written previously of the Fred Thomas case, of the diabetic grandfather whose witness in his defense was run out of court by cops later convicted in the infamous 39th District corruption scandal, of young Jimmy Dennis, whose alibi defense was tossed aside by the courts, innocent men whose real offense was not being able to afford adequate defense counsel. And I assure you, they are not alone. Death row is not just a poor place, but a predominantly black place, with most from Philadelphia. Again, we see the politics of death.
This call is coming from a correctional facility.
Of prosecutors and judges who seek political advancement on the basis of their fierce allegiance to the death penalty, except, it seems, when it comes to mafia hitmen. These same actors in the containment system have treated the Supreme Court's Batson case as little more than a joke. Batson allegedly outlaws using race as the basis for the removal of potential black jurors. But as a video training tape for the DA's office showed, the same game goes on by another name and with the same effect, predominantly white juries. Clearly, what the case claims and what the courts of the Commonwealth actually do are two very different things. And the result is predictable. Death. Clearly, unquestionably, this is time for a change. I thank you. What a move. Long live John Africa. From death row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
Repression and consciousness in Minnesota. I am writing concerning your organization. I was referred to you by another prisoner, and I'm very interested in knowing how I can share my horror stories of maltreatment. More importantly, I want information on your group and want to be brought to more awareness about this barbaric modern-day plantation system. The prison system is geared towards creating negative personalities, violation of fundamental guarantees, constitutional violations, property schemes of passing secret laws that punish further. The psychological warfare of pitting one racial group against another, which is part of their control movement mechanics, while they make billions of dollars with these sweatshops which pay only 25 cents an hour. At the same time, prison authorities charge well over normal retail price for prison store-bought items, plus the taxes. I thought prisoners were not supposed to be taxed, because they can't get tax returns. Did you know that in the Minnesota State Constitution, they have an article which legalizes slavery and slave labor when a person is thrown in jail in prison? In Minnesota, a prisoner does 100% of his or her time. Parole time is considered good time, and the Minnesota Department of Corrections has the authority to take away as much good time as they want with fabricated incident reports. There's a policy here that Department of Corrections workers must support each other's decisions and reports, even if it's later found to be fabricated. So when prisoners may be written up about 99.9% of the time, they're then convicted. The system is fabricated by factions who break up families, violate rights, both human and civil rights. Point the finger at the judicially found guilty persons while they violate and still proclaim to be innocent. There are objective criminals and terrorists to an oppressed people under any abstract law. I struggle daily to be free from these people. In the face of my struggle, I have filed claims in the federal district courts and with the Department of Human Rights. Each time I've been retaliated on with reports of threatening staff. The previous case earned me 7 counts of terroristic threats against staff, with supported fabricated statements from all 7 staff members. So there's no protection for people doing time in America's prison system, which is focused on locking down any and all so-called African-American male, young or old, as well as Hispanics. Don't get me wrong. There are populations of Caucasian Americans locked down, but the majority of these males are employed at the prisons or work with the administration, so they get favored treatment compared to the rest. Through all of this, I've maintained my sanity and tried to educate myself. Through higher education programs, financial books, and informational books to which I have found the self-education and self-programming which pisses off any Departments of Corrections prison, because a person that does so professes to be categorized as a gangbanger or some other kind of stereotype. Doing so only earns the label of troublemaker. But yet, I hope you will help me further my education towards a new horizon. A Minnesota prisoner on the 5th of December, 1999.
Thrown in the hole for refusing to cut his hair. Currently, I am serving an 18-month special housing unit term for failure to comply with the revised hair grooming standards of the California Departmental Rules and Regulations, Title 15, Section 3062. Numerous rule violations for failure to comply and continued harassment eventually led to a physical altercation with one of these fascist pigs, though it's never a fair fight, resulting in my being given the 18-month special housing unit term. Behind the walls of California maximum security prisons, especially special housing unit placement, the treatment and conditions of prisoners is barbaric and inhumane. A list of negligence includes, but is not limited to, 1. Cold meals and inadequate portions. 2. The use of used and damaged clothing. 3. Unsanitary living conditions, inadequate supplies to clean cells. 4. Exorbitant prices of canteen items. 5. Inadequate exercise time and sports equipment. 6. Excessive strip searches and cell searches. 7. Inadequate library, i.e. educational material. 8. Inadequate access to legal books, material, and inadequate time. 9. Verbal and physical abuse. 10. Handcuffed and escorted everywhere. My disdain in regards to the treatment and conditions, deprivation and degradation of prisoners grows, with daily occurrences as constant reminders. I refuse to be silenced or hindered in the endeavor to awaken the conscience and consciousness of my peers. We utilize the materials and books that you send us to the fullest. We share the material and have group discussions when possible. There is subtle but definite change in the general mentality of some. With patience, study, and discipline, we are beginning to learn the difference between the revolutionary seeking to dismantle and destroy the order and infrastructure who identifies with economic exploitation, political repression, and social discrimination, and the reactionary victimized by reform who mistakenly believes that capitalism and true democracy can coexist in the same order. Seeds are planted. The harvest is yet to come. The struggle continues. From a California prisoner, 3rd of October, 1999. Prisoners isolated from outside supporters. Here in Trenton State Prison, we've lost food, clothing, and appliance packages. The administration also cut back on our visitation privileges, where only 60 inmates are allowed visits on Sundays, Monday evenings, and Tuesday evenings. These are at time schedules that cause an inconvenience for the families of the inmates, so therefore most families who are willing to visit their incarcerated loved ones are now unable to visit prisoners. I lost a visit about 7 months ago because of this new visit schedule. There have also been fights between visitors because of the limitations placed on the visiting regulations. From a New Jersey prisoner.
This has been Under Lock and Key, a revolutionary anti-imperialist league and Maoist internationalist movement program about prisons. For more information, contact RAIL, P.O. Box 712, Amherst, Massachusetts, 01004, or email radio at mim.org. This has been Under Lock and Key, a revolutionary anti-imperialist league and Maoist internationalist movement program about prisons. For more information, contact RAIL, P.O. Box 712, Amherst, Massachusetts 01004, or email radio@mim.org.